For those of you on the internet that will might see this later, I ask you to take a look at the video that's going to be provided. And watch that video to get you in the right frame of mind. Through his creation of dogs and other animals, we find a kinship with mankind. The Lord gave us some wonderful examples of how we should live. There's a direct lesson in love and loyalty and patience found in these beautiful creatures that we can learn and follow. I've been blessed to have dogs in my life. I truly believe that they were created by our Creator to show us what love, I mean what unconditional love means. Because of that kind of special relationship, I'm here today and I'm alive. I have an understanding of how great our God is to have sent me such a loving companion. As a child, in my early teens to my early 20s, I was blessed to have a wonderful working dog, Golden Retriever, and his name was Duke. And he was my constant companion. Whenever I would go anywhere, football practice, or wherever I would go, Duke was with me. He would ride in my car, and sometimes he would even go on a date with me. And my date would wonder about why is Duke in the back seat. Well, that's his seat. I can't leave that driveway without having him in that car. I can't, and if you don't like my dog, you don't like me. And Carolyn can say the first time she met me, my wife, I had a German Shepherd. Now, his name was Casey. And Casey was a wonderful dog, a wonderful German Shepherd. It was the first German Shepherd dog that I had since Vietnam. Sandy was a dog that I had in Vietnam. He was a dog that I served with. And Sandy was an incredible dog. He comforted me. He was ever vigilant. He was loyal. He was brave. But Sandy stayed behind in the war. He was not allowed to come home with me. And I never saw him again. I carry a photo in my wallet of him. None other. Now, Duke was still waiting for me at home. And my homecoming was just as joyous to me as it was to him. I came home in the later evening. And when I came back to our house, opened the door, Duke went hysterical. He's jumping up and down. He's rolling over backwards. He's sticking his paws up in the air like he's running in place. If a dog cries, he was crying. He was laughing. He was all excited to see me. And of course, I was down on the floor with him with tears coming out of my eyes. That night, I couldn't sleep. After a couple tours, the only time I worked was at night. And my canine partner and I would go out and patrol the outer perimeter of the base to protect against the enemy attacking. I could not sleep during the nighttime. It was hard. I went up to the bedroom, and I didn't even get in the bed. I looked at Duke. I grabbed a blanket. I said, let's go outside. And Duke and I went outside, and it must have been maybe 11:30, 1 o'clock, somewhere around there. We lay down and went to sleep. Now, my parents got up that morning. They wanted to fix me a big breakfast and so forth. And they got up, and my mom went into my bedroom and looked, and the bed hadn't even been made. I mean, there was no wrinkles in it. I didn't sleep there. And she looked around, and of course, all my gear was still downstairs in the kitchen where I walked in the back door, still there for when I came home and the joyous reunion that we had. She looked around, she called my dad, and she says, where's Ted? And he looked around, and I don't know. Both of them looked at each other, and I know in their hearts, they said this to me, was it a dream? Did he really come home last night? And they looked out the window, in the upstairs window, and they looked in the backyard, and there I was, sound asleep. The sun had come up, now I could sleep, laying there with Duke curled up beside me. Many years later, after Duke passed away, they would relate this story to me. And they also would tell me the story that when I left, Duke would not come upstairs and sleep in the hallway like he normally would do. He stayed at that back door where I always came in. I would always go out and always come in that back door. He waited for 3 months. And finally they coached him to come upstairs. Christ patiently waits for us when we go away from him. You know, dogs have a mission in life, and they know their mission. It's to show us about love, loyalty, patience, and to wait for him, to wait for the master. In Philippians 2, 1 through 8, I'd like to read this. Again, Philippians 2, 1 through 8. If you have any encouragement, and Paul was saying this, and he's talking about joy in serving and imitating Christ's humility. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, to make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfishness, abandon or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourself. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interest of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Now Jesus was humble. He was willing to give up his rights in order to obey God and serve people. Like Christ, we should have a servant's attitude, serving out of love of God and others, not out of guilt or fear. Remember, you can choose your attitude and you can approach life expecting to be saved, or you can look for opportunities to save others. Let God be your master, not guilt or fear, but out of love that we have through Jesus Christ. Look for opportunities to serve others. In Mark 10:45, Jesus said, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." I learned to trust my canine combat partner. I learned to rely on his instincts and abilities to lead me safely and to protect me in peril. Man does not trust his God-given instincts and directions. If he doesn't trust them, he will go against them to serve himself. By doing so, he leaves behind him the one who truly loves him. I have, in the past, left him behind, did not seek his direction, guidance, or protection. I was going down a path that had pit traps, snares, and I failed. Then, still determined to go my own way, I failed to complete my self-directed goals until my walk with Jesus, leading my steps, led me unto the right path for the right reasons. Not mine, but his. It's a hard-hitting thing for a person with self-strong-willed personalities to admit failure, to complete a goal. See, failure is in your eyes, not the Lord's. He has a plan for you. He has a plan for you. That path is not just a trial. He has a path for you to follow also. It's not just a trail, but it's a concrete road to glory for him. Stay on it. Trust in it. Follow his footprints. He walked this way. He knows the way home. He's been there. He went there ahead and prepared a place for us. Yes, we can learn from God's creations. All we need to do is look closer with an open heart and follow His footprints. Many times when I would be walking on point with a patrol behind me or on my own doing a security sweep of an area, I had to trust completely my canine partner. I could not see as well as he can see. I could not hear as well as he can hear. And I sure as heck couldn't smell what he could smell. Now science tells us that a dog's hearing is 100 times greater than a man's hearing. That a dog's sense of sight at nighttime is 10 times better than a man's sense of sight. And his sense of smell is estimated to be over 1 million times greater than our sense of smell. And it's remarkable what these animals can do once they're trained and once we understand them and once we learn how to communicate with them, because it's a two-way street. You see, when I was walking pointer, when I was out there at night, Sandy, my German Shepherd, didn't turn around and just talk to me and say, "Hey, Ted, there's something over here I'm interested in. Ted, I'm hungry." Well, that, yeah, he talked to me about that a lot. Or, "Ted, I feel danger. There's something not right." I had to learn how to read him. I had to learn how to take every movement that he made. And dogs have a certain way to tell you that something's wrong. If you understand and love that animal and spend time with that animal, you'll learn their behaviors. How many of you have had a dog and seen what a dog does when he sees a squirrel? Well, the first thing he does is, I don't care what he's doing, his attention stops. Whatever he's doing there goes, "Oh, squirrel!" Ears go together. Nose goes up, eyes go up, "Squirrel, squirrel, squirrel." Now, he's not saying squirrel, but you can tell by his body language that, yeah, it's a squirrel. He sees him. I see the squirrel, he sees the squirrel. And he'll turn around and look at you. "Do you see what I see? Do you see what I see? Do you see what I see?" Yeah, I see him. But we learned how to do this. Our canine partners were the same way. They had different ways that they could tell us. If he saw something, heard something, or smelled something, he would tell me what sense he's reacting to. For instance, within a jungle, within 300 yards of a dense jungle, he could tell me that there was people out there. Bad guys or good guys, we didn't know. And how he did this, the first was called a scent alert. The wind would be in the right direction, and he would pick up the smell. Now, they could be a long distance off. They could pick it up. Now, I know they could probably pick up their smell, even if they didn't have dogs, but that's a different story. We kind of smelled a lot alike, Sandy and I did, after a while. So bad that when we would go back in the morning to have breakfast, they didn't let us eat inside the chow hall. So we would eat outside on a picnic table that they provided for us, for me and the dog. We would share breakfast. But I was happier to be there than would be inside a nice chow hall. Besides, the cooks loved us, and they would always bring us extras. See, they take care of the people that watch over them at night, which is something we can learn also. We should take care of those that watch over us. But that was a far distance. He could tell about 300 yards by sense of smell. Now, we call this an alert. The next thing he would do, if they were closer, he might see the movement, or he might hear them. Most likely he would hear something. He could hear somebody breathing out there. He could hear somebody walking out there much better than I could, 50 times better than I could. And he would stop. The ears on a German Shepherd are like radar. They go around and around, and all of a sudden they stop, and he would zero in on what he heard. If he smelled something, he would just kind of take a deep breath and hold his nose up in the direction that he thinks it's coming from. If he saw something move, his eyes would go down there. Now, first he smelled it, he heard it, then he saw it, and then this low growl would go, and that would stop your heart dead. That means they're close. They are real close. They're probably within 5-10 yards from you. And that's when the praying started. And that's when the praying, thank God, the prayers were answered. Now, we can learn a lot from God's creations. What we need to do is look closer and open our heart and follow the footprints. Let me tell you about a possum. Now, you wouldn't think a possum is a very smart creature. You would think a possum's kind of dumb. You know, they don't do tricks in the circus. I don't see too many people walking their possums or playing fetch with them. You know.
Roadkill.
Most of the time, that's when you see a possum is usually laying on the side of the road with a buzzard next to it. But they're very smart. Now, they're also, they're kind of shaky in a way. A possum will not build his own den. He'll walk around and he'll look and he'll find a hole or a den. And what he'll do is he looks and he sees if there's footprints going into the den. He doesn't go in there. Why? Because he doesn't see any footprints coming out. That means that the creature that built that den is down in there. Now, if there's footprints coming out, that means that the creature has left. Well, now it's squatter's rights. He's going to move right on in. He's probably going to eat all the food in the refrigerator. I'm sure he's going to take the remote and sit on the couch and watch TV. That's the way a possum is. And you know, there are some people out there that are kind of like that too. That just kind of move in, sit down on the nice comfy chair, take the remote and start changing the channel and eat all the stuff out of the refrigerator. I think they're called teenagers. Right? No, I'm just saying. My husband's okay. Now, we need to be as smart as a possum. Can we agree that we could possibly, in our deep down depth, maybe think, I can be as smart as a possum? Can we make that step? I use this as an analogy because I've made that step and I understand. You see, Buddha can't be my savior because he has footprints going into the grave, but none coming out. Muhammad can't be my savior because he has footprints going in and none coming out. Confucius can't be my savior because he has footprints going in, but none coming out. But let me tell you about my Savior. His name is Jesus Christ. He has footprints going into the grave, and he has footprints coming out of the grave. The footprints going in means that he died. The footprints coming out means that he arose. Footprints going in, he is the suffering one. Footprints coming out, he is the sovereign one. Footprints going in, he received death. Footprints coming out, he rebuked death. Footprints going in, misery. Footprints coming out, majestic. Amen. Footprints going in, thorns. Footprints coming out, thrones. Footprints going in, grief. Footprints coming out, glory. He is risen. He is the conqueror. Footprints going in, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the whole world. Footprints coming out, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Footprints going in, the cross. Footprints coming out, the crown. So bring forth the crown to him and crown him of all. The glory, the God, the King, give him the crown. Because there's footprints coming out, Jesus is magnified. God is glorified. Salvation is qualified. Saints are sanctified. Angels are gratified. Sinners are justified. The devil is horrified. Demons are terrified. Atheists are stupefied. Unbelievers are mystified. Death is vilified. And hell is disqualified. Amen. All because Jesus Christ was crucified, buried, and rose from the dead. Hallelujah. Praise God. Philippians 2:9. through 18. Therefore God exalted him to be at the highest place, to give him the name that above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God, without fault in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe. As you hold out the world of life, in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run of labor for nothing. But if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and receive with me. You know, God said one day, he said, I need somebody strong. I need somebody strong enough to pull a sled, to find bombs, but gentle enough to love babies and lead the blind. Somebody who will spend all day on a couch, resting his head with supportive eyes to lift the spirit of a broken heart. So God made dogs. This story may help us to understand further how God can and sometimes use a dog to get a point across. It's about noon on a beautiful Saturday. The doctor was only going to see one last patient at his new office. Today he had purposely made sure that this patient was the last one on the schedule. He let his staff go home at noon, while he invited this patient to his private office and had him sit down. Usually on a Saturday afternoon is when the family would arrive at his old office, and they all, along with his dachshund, little dachshund dog, would go to the lake park and spend some time having a picnic and relaxing and playing outside. But he knew that this must come first. This patient needed just to talk to the doctor. You see, he was dying, and nothing could be done medically for him. As he sat down, he looked over the desk and asked the doctor, I know you are a Christian, doctor, but tell me, how do you know? The doctor asked, no. Yes, how do you really know? Well, the doctor said, I know in my heart, I have faith, and I have learned through studies in the Bible and listening to my pastor sermons, and well, there are many things that I have followed for my belief. The patient said, I'm dying and I want to know, do you really know what comes after death? The doctor sat back in his chair and he took a deep breath, and in his mind he was trying to think of scriptures and the Bible or examples he could relate, medical near-death experiences or a great book he could recommend. Finally, he said a silent prayer for the Lord to help him say what that patient needed. Just then, he heard a scratching at the door, about a little below doorknob level. He spoke to the patient and said, I can answer your question. You know, I just moved into this new office, and the scratching started again. Right there at his door, at his office, right below the doorknob. He said, please forgive me, but I want to do this. And this will help illustrate to you why I know. He got up and opened the door. The dog came in, jumping up and down. He picked up the little dachshund, he held him in his arms, and he sat back down at his desk. See, this is the first time he's been in this new office. You see, all the doors and the offices are closed. The examining room doors are closed. The nurses' stations doors are closed. The storeroom, the lab, and the records all are closed. Even my office door was closed. How did he find me? He heard my master's voice beyond the next door. Listen with your heart. Do you hear Jesus calling to you? Can you hear what he's saying to you through his words and the Bible with the Spirit in you? I ask you now to lift up your heart, reach out, open up the door of his kingdom. As with the dog did, not knowing what was in that next room, but he knew his master was there because he heard his voice. Let us pray. Lord, we just thank you for the time you give us to share. We just thank you, Lord, for the wonderful, wonderful miracles that you have for us each day. We ask you, Lord, to make us more aware, to look around, the signs that you've given us, to look around and to feel with our hearts and our eyes, knowing that you are here in this, that you have created everything, that there is good out there. We just need to seek it. We need to listen to it. We need to hear it. And we need to love the truth. Lord, I ask as we go this week, as we step out into our lives, as we go to our homes, as we do whatever we have to do to make it through another week before we can end up back in your house again, that we take the time to read the signs and to follow the footprints. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. For those of you that are listening on the internet, I ask you to take that step. If you don't have Christ in your life, I ask you to take that step. Follow that path. Reach out and open that door and let Christ into your life. Let him fill you up with the wondrous love and joy and the happiness that he has for you. It's very easy to do. You just have to give yourself up and let him be in the driver's seat. And let the Lord lead your path. Amen.